Hello, and welcome to the Assembly Podcast. We pray that the Word of God will encourage you to live your life for Him, and that your life will be forever changed by the power of His Word. Stay tuned now for today's message, and remember, there is always a place for you at the Assembly.
Morning. We are starting a brand new series today, and this may seem like a different title for a series. Today, I want to start a series called Junk Drawers. Let me take a survey. How many of you have a particular drawer in your house where you keep junk? We just moved into a brand new house, you know, or brand new to us, 2 or 3 weeks ago. And in the process of moving, Megan made this statement, "This will be the junk drawer." And I thought, here we are, planning to have junk. You know, from the get-go. It's not like it just happened. We are planning to have junk. You may think, well, Pastor, how can this, a junk drawer be spiritual? Well, it actually, this series is birthed out of frustration. Several months ago, we were in a staff meeting on a Tuesday morning, and I just had a moment of just true sharing my feelings. And I asked those in the room that day, I said, how many in this room have a junk drawer where it's just got all your stuff crammed in there? It's completely disorganized. When you look at it, you don't see any sense of order, any sense of purpose. It's just like, blah. It's like something just exploded in there. And you're like, yeah. I said, well, I feel like my whole life right now is like a junk drawer. Let me just ask you, do you ever have a season where it feels like your life is just complete chaos? All right, well, I hope if you've ever had those moments that maybe this service and this series will help you. Sometimes life gets out of order. It gets disorganized. It gets chaotic. It gets random. We go through days and weeks and months wondering, does this have any grand purpose beyond what I see or feel? Nothing makes sense. Everything seems out of place. I think we've probably all had those moments. Someone said this, that clutter, or junk actually, clutter is actually evidence of a delayed decision. In fact, every time I hear the word clutter, this song keeps going over in my mind. It's like instantly, I just start in my head, I start hearing this tune. This right? Anyone recognize this? Right? Does anyone know the words of this song? Does anyone know the words of this song? I'm going to have Megan come back. The words of this song is, I got clutter. I got clutter, clutter, clutter. I got clutter. Sometimes, I mean, clutter doesn't just happen in a certain part of your house. Some of you are thinking, I'm going to be tuning that song in my mind all day long. Yes, you are, and yes, you're welcome. But you know, clutter happens in all parts of our lives. You know, we have and it's just the same way. There are certain decisions we don't make, and we think that since we didn't make a decision, that we're actually putting it off to a different day. But how many know that a decision not made is actually a decision in itself? Right? Your decision to not do this or that. You know, there's stuff in my junk drawer at the house, like parts to a kitchen chair. These are actual items. I didn't make these up. Cigarette lighters, for a reason I'll let you figure out in your own mind. Oh, Megan says they're for candles. Okay. I have keys to cars I no longer drive. I have keys to houses I no longer own, and an office that I no longer work at. That's what's in my junk drawer. You know, we all have this stuff, but it doesn't just happen there. Sometimes there is conversations we should have had. There's forgiveness we should have extended. There are excuses for why we don't do what we should do. And every time we put off those things we should be deciding, or we hesitate on what we should be acting on, what we are doing is we are actually cluttering up our lives. And there's a whole lot of believers today who are living with cluttered lives. I heard one person say that the average person makes 30,000 decisions a day. And every time we make those decisions based on the wrong information or the wrong thing, not only does that offer are adjunct to our life. But every time we make those or we put off those decisions, guess what? That's adding more clutter and more junk to our life. So how do we deal with the junk that comes to our lives? And, you know, a friend of mine said it really good. A friend of mine told me years ago, he said, you know, he said, Greg, if the devil can't make you bad, he'll just make you busy. He'll just make sure your life is so full of junk that even though you're not doing evil, the busyness will keep you from doing the good you ought to be doing. Jesus brought some light on how we should respond to this. In Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33, most of you could quote it with me. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you as well. The word that we're going to talk about today, we're going to talk about one word, and it's going to help us make sense of the junk in our life, okay? And the one word we're going to talk about this morning is priority. Would you say the word with me out loud? Priority. Now, priority is a word that's been around for quite a while. It's been around for about several hundred years. It came about in the 1400s is when it really came into the English language. But when priority came to the English language in about the year 1400, the word priority was singular. It meant the very first thing. And here's the interesting thing, I hope, is that it stayed singular for its first 500 years of existence. If someone talked about their priority, they just talked about one thing. But only in the last 100 years have we changed this word priority to this other word called priorities. Well, Pastor, what's wrong with having priorities? Because it ignores the fact that something has to be first. You can't have 15 things first. I love the way you're shouting. See, here's somewhere along the way, we decided we could have multiple things first. And let me just tell you, we were wrong. We can only have one thing first. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. He will love one and despise the other. He was saying, you know, 2,000 years ago, Jesus was saying, I must be your priority. I cannot be one of your priorities, right? There's a difference in that. And so God doesn't bless people. Listen closely to this. God doesn't bless people who live by priorities. I want to say that again. God doesn't bless people who live by priorities. He blesses people who make him their priority. And that's a huge difference. God doesn't want to be one of the top 10 things in your life. He wants to be the top thing in your life. That's what God blesses when he is the priority. Today we're going to look real quickly at a man who made God his priority. You know his name, you know his story, so I'm not going to read it all to you, but his name was Daniel. And just to give you a little bit of a backdrop for just a second, Daniel was not living, he was not living in his environment of birth. The people of God have been not just conquered, but Daniel has in essence been kidnapped. And now is forced to serve in a government that overthrew his government. That's the surrounding that he is in. And the government that overtook him, they decided we will take the brightest and the smartest and the strongest and best looking. And since they are the best of that culture, we will bring them into our culture and we will change them to be like us. But we will use their gifts and their talents for our own purposes. And Daniel is one of those guys who has been kidnapped. And now that conquering army, that conquering government is wanting to, if you want to use this word, brainwash him. And to use his excellence for their own purpose. And so they knew how to do that. But Daniel said, in Daniel chapter 1, verse number 8, here's what the Bible says. But Daniel was determined not to defile himself by eating the food and the wine given to them by the king. He asked the chief of the staff permission not to eat these acceptable things. Now we're just talking about food and drink here. But it's evident that Daniel had a different priority than anyone around him. Let's pray. Father, I pray that this morning, the next minutes of time, that you would help us move from a mindset of having our priorities right, which we hear a lot of, till we will move to a mindset that focuses on one thing, keeping you as our priority. So, Father, I pray that work and that word will work in me first. I also pray it'll work in each of our lives and each person that's listening to this message this morning, whether in the room or listening online. God, I pray the Holy Spirit will speak to each of us and change us so that we can be people who are completely blessed by the things you have for us and live in a way that brings great glory and honor to you and also brings your promises to fruition in our lives. So God, I pray that today you anoint me above my own ability to speak the words of God and the words of God alone. Anoint our ears, our hearts, and our mind to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. And we'll give you thanks and praise. And all God's people said amen. So Daniel is living with a different priority than anyone else in the kingdom. He is the name of the game, if you're a kidnapped servant, is to go with the flow and don't stick out. Try to fit in. Hopefully you can survive because you're alive, because your other friends aren't. They didn't make the cut. They're either working as indentured servants or they're slaves or worse, they're dead. You should just be trying to fit in, go along for the ride and not stick out. But Daniel was determined to make sure God was always his priority, no matter the environment that he was in. I wish there would be some people of God in Cabot, Arkansas, who determined this morning that God is going to be the priority of my life no matter what environment I'm in. Amen? That's what Daniel was doing. He could have succumbed to the temptation to fit in, to go along, but by doing so would have brought a lot of junk into his life that he really didn't want, and he knew that. He knew that every moment that God was not a priority was a moment that would be adding baggage and jump to his life. It'd be a moment of adding regret that someday he would have to mull over. It'd be a moment of wishing he'd acted different. It'd be a moment of bringing convictions into his life that he knew were opposite of God's convictions. And you know, many people, John Ortberg says, that many people are actually not living by their convictions today. They're just doing guilt management. They're trying to do what will make them feel less guilty. They're acting and living in a life of fear rather than a life of faith of putting God first. They live their life that is a slave to the urgent rather than the important. And how many know there's a difference between what is urgent and what is important? I want to say that again. There's a difference between what is urgent and what is important. One reason this series is so important to us is because there's many of us that we live Monday through Sunday. Our whole lives are about surviving what is urgent, and we never ask God, Lord, what is important to you? I want to tell you, there will always be some urgent things that try to drive out what God says is important. And every time we allow that to happen, we are bringing more junk into our lives. You know, the kids forget their lunch. That's urgent that they get fed before school, right? The air conditioner breaks down. Happened to me last week. No fun. A friend is in crisis. Are these important? Sure. Are they urgent? Sometimes. But are they the most important things of our life? That's what the Holy Spirit helps us to know. So how do I deal? Here's the question I want to try to answer this morning. How do I deal with the junk that comes to my life? How do I deal with the junk that's in my life? How do I keep God priority despite all these other 12,000 voices that are speaking to me? Among the 30,000 decisions I got to make every day, how can I keep Christ at the forefront? How can he be my priority? Here's a few answers to that question this morning. Number one, we have to understand that God blesses those who determined to live with God as their priority. That's my first point. The Bible says Daniel was determined. Say this with me. I've got to be determined. Did you know that no one can make you determined? The Bible says Daniel was determined. In other words, he determined within himself that God would be his priority. Listen, your mom or your dad can't make God the priority of your life. Your husband or your wife cannot make God the priority of your life. Your pastor, as talented as he is, cannot make God the priority of your life. Amen? I can only make God the priority of my life, and that's it. And you, only you, I'm about to break in the song again, only you, you know, only you can make God the priority of your life. And the Bible says that Daniel determined not to defile himself. He determined to make sure God was the priority in his life and nothing else. Do you know why you have some of the stuff that's in my junk drawer at home? One of the reasons it's in there is because someone gave me something that they thought I needed that I really didn't need. I have in my junk drawer a magnet that says, "Go Buckeyes." Who shouted for that? What's up with that? I mean, I am not going to put that on my refrigerator. But it was given to me by someone who I halfway care about. So I don't want to throw it away. So what did I do? I just threw it in the junk drawer. And there it is, taking up space, adding no value, but it's just existing. Listen, you and I have to understand that many of the voices in our world today are eating value from us. Because even though we may not necessarily agree with them, by you listening to them over and over and over again, they're creating junk. They're creating chaos. They're creating doubt. They're creating thoughts that you have to deal with that you shouldn't have to deal with. One thing I want you to embrace from this message this morning is this fact that not all opinions are equal. Right? We live in a world today, we live in a society that I believe is experiencing opinion overload. Right? I mean, when our girls came into our life, when Stella came 3 years ago, I suffered from opinion overload. I mean, I was halfway schizophrenic for like 3 months because every person that I've met had an opinion about how I should raise my daughter. Right? Only put them to sleep on their back. No, babies sleep better on their belly. Move them to real food in the first 6 months. No, wait for a year. Make sure you get them vaccinated immediately. No, wait till they're 3 months old. Wait till the year. Or don't do it at all. I mean, I like got bombarded by all of these opinions. And some of you are being really quiet right now because you have a strong opinion about which of those things I should have done. You want me to tell you what we did? I'm not going to. But we suffer from opinion overload. And just to make things worse, we have this thing called social media to where you can go out there and on Twitter and Facebook, you are giving people permission to speak into your life that you don't even know. Let me just tell you, just because someone has a blog doesn't make them an expert. Do you know what it takes to have a blog and a voice online? About $18. And there's some people in the kingdom of God that are giving way to diverse opinions, and I believe are actually many times doctrines of demons, simply because someone paid $18 and called themselves an expert. But God doesn't bless those who live their life according to the experts. He blesses those who live their lives according to who make him their priority. So don't let your life get cluttered by the numerous amounts of opinions that really shouldn't matter. Secondly today, understand God's priority is always greater than the emergencies that come to our life. You know the story. Let me finish the story. Chapter 1 story. Daniel made God the priority, and guess what happened? The chief servant realized that Daniel and his friends that went on that diet that was different, that kept God the priority, he realized that they looked better than everyone else. Putting God as priority worked for Daniel. But just like our lives, another problem came about. In Daniel chapter 6, there were those, and this is the story that you're all familiar with, so I won't read it to you. But Daniel, putting God first, brought God's favor in his life. It brought his blessing in his life. It brought, you know, it elevated who he was in the, not just the eyes of the king, but in the eyes of the country. And they were, Daniel especially was one of the chief rulers. And there were those who saw Daniel excelling, and they thought, how come he excels and we don't? And they thought the only way we can trick him will be if we trick him some way, somehow to do with his God. And so they had the king put out this rule that no one could pray except that prayer be gone to the king. And the Lord, or Daniel said this in Daniel chapter 6, verse number 10. It says that after Daniel knew this decree had been signed, now he's in a state of emergency, right? Keeping God priority has now become outlawed. It's become illegal. But the Bible says he went home and he knelt down. Here's the word he used, as usual. He's living in a state of emergency and he prays as usual. The king has declared that anyone who keeps this priority will be killed. How many know that if someone is trying to kill you, that's an emergency? Apparently, you've never had anyone try to kill you before. When it happens to you, become a pastor. It'll happen to you. Y'all are hard to cajole to loosen up, all right? Here's the deal. So Daniel is in a state of emergency, but here's what I love about him. He doesn't let his emergency sabotage God's priority. And if we're going to keep God as the priority of our life, we have to understand emergencies are going to come. And I'll give you some good news. How many would like some good news this morning? Here's some good news. Okay, here's some good news. The emergencies are not going to stop coming. Right? If you're waiting for the day when the grass is green without watering and your car starts without paying for it or fixing it and everything is perfect in that day, then I'll make God a priority. That day, friend, is not coming. There is always an emergency coming. I tell people all the time, you're either in an emergency, you're coming out of an emergency, or you're getting ready for an emergency. Right? They're always coming. But despite what is going on, you and I can decide, like Daniel, that we're going to keep God as a priority. Secondly, we've got to make sure our convictions are not servant to our convenience. How many of you like convenience? Listen, I've been preaching against Walmart for like 15 years. I hate Walmart. They take all my money. I would be a millionaire if it wasn't for Walmart. But yesterday, Megan got her phone out and ordered all of our groceries from her phone. And we drove up. I don't know how this happened. It was pretty amazing. When we drove up on the parking lot, a girl came out of Walmart with a shopping cart with all of our groceries already in there. And we got all of our van load of groceries and we're in and out of that parking lot in less than 3 minutes. That was awesome. Now, it still costs just as much money, so don't get too excited about it. But, man, you talk about convenience. I love convenience. Keeping God priority is not always convenient. And to make it worse, when you decide that you're going to keep God a priority, even when it's inconvenient, your commitment to God may make it inconvenient to the world and those around you. And friends, when your commitment causes inconvenience to those around you, get ready for pushback. Get ready for someone to not applaud you, but rather persecute you. That's what's going on in Daniel's life. But I would challenge you to also, like Daniel, stick to your priorities no matter the cost. Now, I'm supposed to be done in 2 minutes, and I'll just tell you I'm not going to make it. Okay? But I'll hurry. Thirdly, and this is so important. Why is this so important that I live by priority? It's important because, thirdly, this morning, I want you to realize that your priority, it speaks. Say this with me this morning. My priority speaks. Say it loudly. My priority speaks. Daniel's priority spoke to people that I'm not even sure if he knew that his priority was speaking. Because when the king had Daniel arrested, the king threw him into that famous den of lions. The final words of the king to Daniel before they closed the stone and sealed the deal for Daniel's fate. The king said this, "May your God, whom you serve faithfully, guard you." Daniel's priority had been speaking to this worldly king. And friends, when you and I put priority, make God the priority of our life, your life speaks. And I would say it this way as well. Your life cannot be ignored. You want to have an impact on someone's life? You want to impact your son or your daughter, your family, your mom or your dad? Let me tell you a good way to do it. Keep God the priority of your life. Because when he is priority, it will not be ignored and it cannot be avoided. And here's my final point this morning, Megan, if you want to come, is if you will keep God priority, what keeping God priority does is it provides God an opportunity to do the impossible. Now, oftentimes I've prayed, "Lord, would you please do a miracle in my life?" I've often prayed, "Lord, would you do something amazing. Lord, I would love to see you do a miracle." I've heard a lot of people say, "God, you know, Greg, I would love to see God do some more miracles." But before you pray that prayer, let me ask you, are you willing to get yourself in a spot that takes a miracle? See, Daniel's priority led him to a place that demanded a miracle. Heard a story of a young man the other day who gave his life to Christ, and he told his pastor, "You know, Pastor, ever since I gave my life to Jesus, life has gotten harder instead of easier." Now, that's your story. Let me tell you, keep God the priority, even if it gets harder, because when you keep God priority, you are making possible, you are making opportunity for God to do a miracle in your life. Of course, you know, Daniel kept God the priority, and guess what Daniel got? He got a miracle. God miraculously saved him from that lion's den. Now, he could have saved himself from the lion's den. He could have recanted his faith. He could have stopped praying. He could have said, "Lord, I'm going to take a break because it's inconvenient and it's you know, it's just problematic for me to pray like I've been praying. You know, you see the emergency that I'm in, so I'm just going to lay low for a while." But instead, what did he do? He kept praying. He kept his priority upon God, and his keeping priority created a miracle. If you're in a place, if you're in a state of emergency today, your solution is not to focus on God less. It's to focus on God more. Him as your priority is your best place to receive a miracle from God. So I want to pray for you real quickly, and then we're going to take the Lord's Supper together. But if you're in place of needing a miracle today, boy, I don't know how God could set up the service anymore. It's like all song service long, the Lord's been just knocking, reminding you, "Hey, I am the miracle working God. I am the God that can do the impossible. I can do abundantly above all you could ask, think, or imagine." And the way we give him room to do that is by keeping him priority. So I would challenge you this morning, if following Jesus is not the priority of your life, I would challenge you to make that the priority of your life today. So I want to ask you to bow your heads this morning and just this private moment of prayer. You say, "Pastor, God is not presently the priority of my life." Maybe you once served him. Perhaps you've been serving him, but you've been serving him half-hearted. Perhaps he's even been the top five most important things of your life, but he hasn't been the priority. You've been living life according to the priorities instead of the priority. But today, you say, "Pastor, I'm changing that around. I'm making God not a top priority. I'm making him priority of my life." If that's you this morning, would you just lift your hand real quick and say, "Pastor, I'm making that change." Amen. Amen. Who else today? Amen. Several hands. Who else today? Amen. Amen. I want to pray right now for you. And here's my prayer. I'm praying that God would, as you make that difference, it may be a subtle change, it may be a drastic change, but I'm believing as you make that change, you're also making room for God to do the impossible in your life. Father, I pray for these great men and women who lifted their hands this morning, for these students who have lifted their hand as well. God, I pray that today, Lord, we just choose to follow you. We choose, Lord. We know that you said if we confess our sins, that you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from everything that's not right. And Lord, the sin we're confessing this morning is that we have been guilty of putting many things first instead of first things first. So God, we just changed that this morning. And God, I pray as people are seeking first you and your kingdom, that you truly add all these other things that just fill our lives, things that fill our junk drawer. Look, you'll just take care of those as well. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to ask.
Thank you for listening to the Assembly Podcast. We hope you were strengthened by the Word of God today. The Assembly is growing and our ministries are doing big things for Jesus. If you are in the Cabot area, come by and check us out on Sundays at 10 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more information, visit our website at theassemblycabot.com or check us out on Facebook and Instagram.